Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Friday.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I was starting off strong, and then I ended off soft with that. It has been...
I didn't really know. I couldn't tell if you were going that song or if you were going full church. Like, I didn't know if we were getting what...
I didn't know either. Yeah, okay. That's why it sounded like a little bit of a mix. The ending sounded better. Longest day ever. It's been such a long day. You got a problem with your mouth right now.
We're both in pain. It's been a long week.
No, we're legitimately in pain. It's not a joke. Like, I...
Yeah.
My back hurts so bad right now. It sounds ridiculous. Let us complain for 5 minutes. Let us complain for 5 minutes. My lower back... and my neck right now are in severe pain. They're in severe pain. It's hard to sit here.
We're playing through the pain. If you think at any point in this podcast I'm talking with some kind of lisp, it's because I have a fucking canker sore on the side of my tongue that is just... it hurts so bad. It's quite literally maybe one of the worst things that could happen to someone who speaks for a living.
Yes.
Like, there's, you know, arm breaks, leg breaks. It's like... okay, you can still talk. You can still do... this thing hurts so bad when I open my mouth. It's incredible.
You've struggled all day with
all
it. You sound like you have a lisp.
Yeah, Erica was like, are you good? Like, do you have a retainer? She asked me if I had a retainer in.
Yeah,
that's how
embarrassing.
Yeah, that's tough.
Embarrassing.
That's tough.
You know, yeah, we're definitely playing through the pain. That sucks, by the way. I'm sorry you're going through that because that sounds miserable.
And you know how, and I do think it's like, it's stress induced. Also, if I bite any part of my lip or cheek or tongue, whatever, it always turns into a sore. I have too much acidic foods. Anyway, when you get them on your cheek or like on your lip, they have these patches. Like, there's stuff you can put the canker sore, like medicine on it. When it's on your tongue, it's so hard because it's like a numbing thing. So it's either I numb my entire mouth, like I put it on my tongue, my entire mouth goes numb, mm-hmm. and I can't really speak anyway. Or like the little patches, you need to like dry off the little part before you put it on. Impossible on your tongue.
Impossible. You can't have a dry tongue.
Physically
impossible to have a dry tongue. As dry as you think your mouth may be at times, it's physically impossible.
Unless
to have
I just
a dry
sat
tongue.
There with my mouth open and let it
just really dry
just
it
let
out.
It wait, and just kept my mouth open forever.
Get a blowjob to it or something.
But I'm doing, you know, gargle with the salt water, and I got
that.
The mouthwash. I got everything, and yet I'm just in excruciating pain while I'm trying to speak.
If we were on Long Island right now, I'd have Ro fix you up.
She has all the tricks.
She does, and I've literally had mine zapped off before. Like, she's got some crazy shit.
I would
she's
love
got
to
some
zap
crazy
this off
shit.
Right now.
She used to be an ortho tech. That's why she's retired now. But retired at a very young age, by the way.
I looked at it in the mirror and was like, I wish I could take a knife and just cut this part of my tongue off.
Yeah. Like, sometimes it looks like you could.
Yes.
Canker sores like very much look like you could slice it off.
Just cut it right in the base.
Just like that.
Not to gross everyone out even more today.
My mom did retire at a young age. She did.
Good for her.
My mom's literally 52. Yeah. I think 52 or 53 cannot be older than that. Retired already.
What's your ideal age to retire at?
35. I've been working, you know, for a while.
She started way earlier than everybody else.
That's true.
I'm kidding. Probably.
It's
actually
TBD.
No. Straight up.
You don't want to be like Oprah Winfrey, like still out here, like interviewing. Oh, she does it like. When she wants to. That's the goal.
It depends where we are. It really depends where this goes.
It's hard to plan
ahead
of time.
It's hard to put a
cap
on it.
It really is.
I'd love to be able to sit my ass somewhere. Yeah, for sure, though. Like, I'm not... like, at one point, it's like, when do you give up? I can't let this go.
We want families, too. Like, it's all gonna... something to think about down the line.
I'm, like, picturing you both, like... 60 years old, still talking about like
sitting here like this.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
It could be like we could be in Florida.
We just rebrand like 5 different times.
So many times. We're still
just
called Chicks in the Office.
Updating the profile picture.
We just make it old chicks.
Well, what if one of us
old chicks in the office
dies?
Oh, Rhea.
I mean, that could happen tomorrow.
No, true. Knock on wood. All right, moving on from that conversation. I thought of something today on the subway. Yes.
You took the subway. I thought you were waiting. Left that open there for a round of applause.
I did, definitely.
Yep. Took the subway. Do you know what I actually thought? When we walked out Sunday, I have a question.
I know what you're going to say.
When we walked out Sunday, I got into an Uber to go home. But you walked down the street and I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, wow, I think she might actually be getting on the subway. But then I turned around when I got in the car. I got in the car and I looked out the window because I knew you'd have to cross the street to get to the downtown train station. And I was like, oh, I don't see her. I was like, did she walk around the corner and call an Uber?
No. You know what's so weird? It's been two instances in the past week where... Do you know when I walked out with you, as soon as I walked that way,
yeah.
I was going to Duane Reade and then going on the subway, by the way.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Okay.
You know, Duane Reade, that's right next door.
Right under the office.
Yeah.
Crossing the train.
That's where I was going. But I did take the subway after. But I will tell you straight up, in my head, I thought, I didn't say goodbye to you, which is something I never do.
It was astonishing. It was a long day. It was Sunday. Sometimes when we finish recording on Sunday, it's like we want to go home and we have stuff to do. And we walked out. You walked out ahead of me. You turned to the left. You were gone. I was like, bye.
I
got into the Uber and was like, all right.
I didn't say bye.
I thought you had places to be.
As soon as I did that, I thought, oh my God, how rude of you. You didn't even say bye. And then I almost turned back to be like, Fran, I didn't say bye. Bye.
Yeah, I was already
like,
gone.
I was like, no, it's Fran. Like, whatever. But then I was like, oh my God, she definitely thinks I'm just going to the subway. Like, I knew that you were going to think that.
I just thought in my mind, I was like, she's a woman on a mission. She's getting on that subway. Look at her go.
Yeah.
Look at her go.
That's hilarious that you bring that up. The other day is another another funny little tidbit that happened with Fran and I. I was in the bathroom. I was in the stall. And the men's and women's bathrooms here are separated. I'm pointing that out because in the old office, we all share
a
room.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah.
But in this one, it's whatever. And,
communal.
Yeah.
Multiple stalls.
Communal, multiple stalls. I'm in one stall and... an issue that I have been having lately, now this is maybe TMI, but whatever, we're all ladies here. Some men, hello.
Men have this problem too.
They do. I've been feeling like I have to pee more often than I do. Some might say that's a UTI, I don't know. But I've been feeling I have to pee more often than I actually do. So then I go to pee in the bathroom, where you go to the bathroom, where you pee. Mm-hmm. And it like trickles out. You know, it's like a little sprinkle here and there. I hear someone come in.
I walked in to like quickly do a lip gloss touch up. I didn't need to pee. Like I walked in to just look in the mirror.
Yeah. I hear someone come in. The way you were breathing,
which is a crazy way to identify me.
I just knew in my head, I was like, that's gotta be Fran.
I really do think we have a sixth sense though when it comes to each other in that bathroom. Like there are times when I'm in a stall and I hear somebody come in. Well, you also have a very unique step.
Like
the way you step. Yeah, 100%. I can
second that.
I can hear you coming from a mile away. 100%. Well, I can hear you coming from all the way from our desk in here. You shuffle.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I can just tell. Like, I don't even think about it.
I feel like it's a good way to describe it.
It's something I'm trying to work
shuffle.
On actively.
You don't lift your feet up that high when you walk.
So I didn't know people noticed that, but something I've been doing lately is trying to lift my feet up when I walk. Like, I'm literally walking down the street like...
No,
I'm trying to stop doing that because I noticed it, but I didn't know people.
Oh no, 100%.
I never thought about what it is. I'm just like, I just know.
No, that's how I know if I'm in the bathroom and I hear your shuffle, I know it's you.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Rhea shuffle.
Well, anyway, I go to put lip gloss on, and I'm like, I don't know who's in the bathroom, and I just hear, psst, then long pause. So, and in my head, I was like, I'm not even going to say anything because I don't know what woman is in this stall and I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable that they're having a little pee problem right now. And then we went to go record and you were like, was that you?
I knew it was you because when I was sitting there, I was like, the way you made a noise with the way you breathed Was that it? Breathe?
Yeah, I was breathing. You identified my breath.
I was like, that's got to be Fran. And I was like, but if it's not Fran? And I'm like, Fran. And I'm also
having a pee problem.
I didn't want to blow up my own spot. Yeah. So I was like, there is a huge risk right now where I could blow up my own spot. Because I was like, if I do blow up my own spot, I am going to have to tell this person that I am having this pee problem, whole long thing,
just
whatever.
Waited till the end.
Walked out. I was like, is that you? And Fran starts dying. She goes, you having a pee problem?
I said, yeah, you having a problem?
You having issues? I am. Just so you know, I am. But anyways, I took this back to that initial story I was going to tell. Took the subway this morning and I was having some thoughts. My sister is planning a trip for... Last year was supposed to be her bachelorette party. Mm-hmm. COVID hit, couldn't do the bachelorette party. Then we had a very small gathering for her to get married, mm-hmm. and she wasn't able to have a big wedding. Her wedding initially was going to be 300 plus people. Yeah. No joke. Huge ass wedding. Really a great venue, just dream wedding. And it's really upsetting that she can't do it. So mm-hmm. she's planning a little trip in June mm-hmm. that is a combo of a 1 year anniversary of the day that she got married and just a bachelorette party, but involving her husband. Never had. I can't get a single fucking friend to come with me. I can't get a single friend to come with me. Swear to God that I have made a pact with myself this morning on the subway where I was like, you are better than begging people to come to Aruba with you. Offering to pay, like, I'm like, I got points. Because I do. I have points from
you
the last time
we
stayed.
You didn't offer to pay for my trip. You were not throwing out free trips?
And I did not offer to pay for your trip because I did not attain the points prior. Whereas because we went on that trip, I attained points now for my next trip. So I'm like, I'm throwing out points. I'm like, guys, I got points. Just stay in my room. I got points. I got it. I'm paying. I got to the point last night where I was like, you know what? I'm not fucking begging you. I'm not. No. I said that to each person. I even asked you. I've said that to each person I asked. I'm like, I'm not begging you. It's a cool trip. I'm inviting you to Aruba. I'm fucking offering to pay for your room. And if you don't want to come, that is that. I can't beg people to be my friend.
I could have begged people like, oh, I really don't want to go alone to Puerto Rico. But I'm like, fuck it. I'll just go. Like, I'm not going
to
beg my
friend. Right, because you feel like an asshole. You're like, oh, nobody wants to be my friend. If I'm begging everybody to come to Aruba, then what is the point here? Like, you want to come, you come. You know you have the invite. Let me know. So
it was
we'll
just
see.
In my defense, because people are going to be like, wow, Fran.
No, I get why Fran can't come. I totally get why Fran can't come.
It's close to 4th of July, and we get that time off, and I'm trying to plan something. I have not neglect, like, Joe and I have gone on a lot of trips. We've been lucky to go on a lot of trips, and my family is involved, or his family is involved. It's always like a big group thing. And whenever it's like me and him, I'm like, let's do it some other time.
Yeah.
And then like these girls trip pop up or I do it. And then it's kind of like, are you ever going to do something with me? So we're trying to plan something for 4th of July. So it's just like, it's like the timing's just
if you took another trip with me, yes, he would be like, Fran, we are going on a trip.
Yeah, he'd be like, you're gonna spend the money again for a trip before we're supposed to like plan and like really do it.
Yeah, no, totally get why Fran can't come. So it's whatever. But one of my friends was like, why Aruba? Like, why not this place? I was like, my sister's. If you don't want to come, I'm not going to sell you on Aruba. It's Aruba.
Yeah.
Beautiful beaches, activities to do, great restaurants, bars. Oh, there I go. I'm selling it.
Yep.
As activities.
I say, I'm not selling you on it. And then I give them a list of things they do. And I'm just like, what do you, now you're going to be picky about the place? Like, okay, screw you. My fucking cousin, I'll call her out. She and her boyfriend just bought a house. I'm looking directly at the camera. Yeah. They just bought a house and she's like, well, I can come if it's not the date of the weekend that we're moving in. We're moving in June. I said, when are you going to know that though? You know, like, you're going to string me along till June and then tell me, no, that's going to be the weekend.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
No.
So I don't know. I got hope in one person and we'll see if they deliver. We'll see if they deliver. We'll see. Mm. Not begging anybody anymore.
No.
But it's a great place. Maybe one of the Chicks in the Office fans want to come with me. I don't know. Maybe somebody listening is like, Rhea, I'll be there. We'll hang out.
I bet you they will.
Possibly.
I bet you. Especially because you throw out the points. You're going to get a lot of messages of people being like, I'll take the points.
I can't take a stranger. I love you guys.
Yeah.
I cannot stay in a room with a stranger.
Yeah, I mean, that's just safety purposes.
It's not safe.
No.
Can't do that.
No.
All right, let's get into the topics for today's show. Zac Efron is back on the market. Single man. Hilary Duff will be starring in a new version of How I Met Your Mother called How I Met Your Father. Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather fight is locked in. Demi Burnett released some text messages and calls between her and Reality Steve, while Reality Steve faces a lot of backlash and allegations about
past comments,
treating the way he treats women, which, you know, we'll dive into that. And Jeff Wittick released his second episode of his documentary on YouTube that includes David Dobrik and how Jeff Wittick seriously injured himself and David Dobrik was involved.
Yeah. Trending on Twitter. Top trending topic again, David Dobrik.
And we also have a fun little segment with the girls from Black Girls Texting, Chelsea, Glynn, and Sade. So let's get into it, starting off with Zac Efron. Zac Efron is on the market once again. He's a single man. His Australian girlfriend did not last long.
And the Australian girlfriend was also named Vanessa,
yes,
correct?
She was.
Yeah, okay, that's how I always remember it. Now, I think, I don't know why, I just thought that this could have potentially been it for Zach. Like, I just thought, if he went to Australia, he disappeared. It was like he's an Australia guy now. He wants to live there. Doesn't even know if he wants to come back to Hollywood. And I thought, oh, he found his lady down there. We'll never see him again. They'll live happily ever after. All the reports were like, ah, he's so in love and all these things. 10 months later, and they're broken up.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know, I did feel like this was the one for Zac Efron as well, which is weird because we don't know him.
I feel like he needs a non-celebrity.
Yeah, that's why it felt good, because it was like, oh, okay, Zac Efron's dating somebody who's not in this world. It seems like he wants to settle down, not be too much in the spotlight, even though he's Zac Efron, he always will be.
Yep.
It just didn't last 10 months. That's usually the cap. It's usually when you know. It's not, I just made that up 10 months.
10 months.
That's totally not it. Isn't it like if it goes past 4 months, it's more than a crush? That's what I read in high school, and I held on to that forever.
You read
I was
going to
say, did you read that in like a Cosmo or something?
I read that in something.
Teen Vogue.
Something when I was in high school, and I held on to it forever. Look it up.
That's fair. I think it's hard. 10 months is definitely a relationship. I think more than 6 months to me marks like a legitimate relationship. Who were the TikTokers? I can't believe I'm bringing this up. I'm just in too deep now. Which TikTokers, Rhea, you'll tell me, put out like a whole video about them breaking up? They were only together like 5 months.
Charlie and
Taylor Hall. Yes, yes. The whole like dramatic we broke up YouTube video. And I'm reading about it, and it's like the couple together 5 months. I'm like, that doesn't count. You guys dated. I don't even think you can say like 5 months.
Charlie Jordan and Taylor Holder put out a video that was just as emotional as Liza and David's breakup.
Right.
Liza and David were dating for years.
And that it was like 5 months, huh? That this is where we're at. We're making breakup videos for 5 months.
Well, they know that those get views.
Yeah, no,
sure, for sure. Oh, they know what they're doing.
You go on 3 dates with someone, you're a TikTok person, I'd be like, I would make a YouTube video. I'm no longer going on dates with this person.
Bryce didn't do that, right? Or he did, right?
He did.
He didn't make
one. He made a breakup video, for sure.
Of course, you have to. So here's, I looked it up. Liking someone for more than 4 months. This is the first thing that comes up.
Oh no, it's like a Khloe Kardashian Instagram story.
It's literally an inspirational type quote that you'd see on Instagram, which makes sense. Instagram started like the same time I started high school.
Yeah.
It says, fact, when you have a crush on someone, and I just want everyone to know that all of the I's are dotted with hearts. When you have a crush on someone, you notice every single detail about, oh wait, that's not, okay.
Oh, scratch that.
I'm scratching that. Is it true that if a crush on someone lasts for more than 4 months, then it's considered as love?
That is a hilarious question. No.
No. Yeah. There are no time rules to determine the difference between a crush and love.
But you read that in high school and it really stuck with you.
That pretty much contradicts the whole idea of like love at first sight.
Here it is. Based on psychologic study, a crush only lasts for a maximum of 4 months. If it exceeds, then you are already in love.
Oh, I see. It
is
it now.
It is an inspirational quote.
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, obviously, I.
That's dangerous to children, though.
It is. I mean, I just said that right there.
Like, if you spend a whole, like, your entire junior year of high school, like, being obsessed with one boy, and then you're like, well, over the four-month mark, I'm in love, and this kid, like, doesn't even know you exist.
I lost my virginity. I lost my virginity at the four-month mark.
Oh, boy. Then you knew you were in love, huh?
I swear to God, that quote fucked me up. Swear to God. I was like, it's been 4 months.
That means you're soulmates.
Yeah.
It's been 4 months.
Yeah. You know, I don't think Zac Efron's following these rules.
I know. Back onto Zac Efron. But you know, I'm just saying.
I'm with you. Yes, and I feel like I've definitely remember seeing that as well on social media at a younger age. But I don't. I really thought like Zach, and maybe he'll continue to date non-celebrities, but I can't even think of like the next person Zac Efron would date. It's just.
It could be anybody. Anyone. It could be a low-key actress. Thing, right? Like, it could be somebody from a coffee shop.
No, if he is at the point where he has now dated, I believe she was a model, waitress, actress type situation. I mean, maybe model. I believe they met when he went into the restaurant.
I'm pretty sure she was at a coffee shop, something like that.
So if he's like dating people he's meeting in restaurants in Australia, that pretty much qualifies almost every woman in the world to be eligible to date Zac Efron. Not to get everybody's hopes up, but he could walk into your country. He could walk into your coffee shop.
Everybody's ears Everybody just perked up
that. Has that a chance.
There's like an Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis possibility of
no.
like him and Vanessa Hudgens get married.
No.
Why?
Good question, but no, I don't think so. Not even at all. I think that they were very much. Here's the thing. Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis never dated. They were just co-stars on That 70s Show.
Yeah.
Vanessa Hudgens and Zac Efron actually dated and went through some shit, and I don't think that they'll go back to that. I feel like High School Musical is a time that they want to leave in their past. Now everybody is going to wake up every day with a little more pep in their step, knowing they could be the ones to date Zac Efron. Mm-hmm. When you just put it like that, that anybody could date Zac Efron now, everybody's got a reason to wake up in the morning.
Oh, man. It is. No, but it is funny, though. Like, there's so many celebrities that you think, oh, they only date celebrities. They would never date a normal person. They would never date a regular person. Zac Efron isn't one of them. So that's just something to hold on
to. Zac Efron's special.
He is.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Hilary Duff will be starring in a new spinoff of How I Met Your Mother called How I Met Your Father, and it will be on Hulu. And this is a great void that will be filled from the lack of Lizzie McGuire that we are getting, because Lizzie McGuire never ended up happening. It was in the works. We even saw shots of her and Gordo together, not happening. But now we get Hilary Duff on our screens in a great show that I think will be great. I'm calling it a great show. Don't know that yet. In a show that we think will be great.
Yeah.
And will maybe have a better ending than How I Met Your Mother did.
So we keep bringing this up, and I haven't even gotten into it because I watched all of How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how it ended.
Really?
Like, I really don't remember how it ended.
Well, I don't want to spoil it because I think people want to watch.
I mean, How I Met Your Mother was on TV.
I've never watched one episode.
But now that
it started in 2005.
Yeah, but it's on like streaming services. And now that How I Met Your Father is coming out, people are going to be like, I want to watch How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. Okay. So this is just something I have to look up myself.
I actually didn't watch all of How I Met Your Mother.
I watched it all.
I watched a lot of it, and I know what happens at the end. And people were not happy. Wait, how do you not know what – if you watched it all, how do you not remember what happened?
Forget.
Did the ending not affect you as much as it affected other people?
There's a lot of shows that I couldn't tell you what happens, like, during the shows at all.
I mean, fair enough. When time goes by. Yeah,
there's just so many shows.
I remember.
Because you looked it up.
Yeah, because I looked it up.
Yeah, you don't just remember. You.
No, no, I remember because I looked it up.
You now know.
No, yeah. And it is what I thought. It is what I thought. Because remember, there was also like all the controversy because there was an alternate ending. Like they were like, oh, we could have gone with this ending that would have made everybody happy, but we chose like a different ending.
Right.
And that really pissed people off.
Yeah.
So I'm interested on how you even do how I'm... Oh, I guess it's just an entirely different concept.
No, I think
they're
it's
not connected.
No, I don't think they're connected.
Right,
I just
obviously
think it's a little.
Because the mother, like, it's Hillary Duff, who was obviously not a part of How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly. So yeah. It's not necessarily a spinoff. I worded that wrong, but it's just coming from How I Met Your Mother is now How I Met Your Father. They're doing a similar thing.
Like more like a, what would you call it? Remake, sort of?
Yeah.
Ish. How I Met Your Mother, they're calling it a sequel. Oh, no.
I can't even read that.
How am I? No, it's a spinoff. They're calling it a spinoff.
Okay.
I was going to say, like, there are things that are in the same world, but, like, aren't directly connected.
Yeah, yeah. A spinoff is definitely the right term for it. And I'm excited to see who else they cast in this, because obviously the How I Met Your Mother cast was extremely iconic, a great group of actors and actresses. So it'll be fun to see who they surround Hillary Duff with in this. And I'm going to get really confused because I can already tell I'm going to start mixing up the shows. Like, because it's Hillary Duff, I'm going to think it's How I Met Your Mother. But I know I'm going to say mother when I mean to say father. But I think this is great for her. Like you said, Rhea, the Lizzie McGuire stuff didn't work, which was very, very sad. But the sitcom world for her, I love. I think Hillary Duff is so great in that format. Younger, she was so good in. And Younger, this is the final season right now. If you watch Younger, it's happening right now, the final season. So she needed like that next project.
And she
this is great.
Wasn't even necessarily the star of Younger.
No,
so
no.
Her being the star of How I Met Your Father is awesome. Yeah. I really hope we get some known actors and actresses in this. I know usually it's like, okay, new show, new faces, which we will get totally. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of people knew the actors and actresses in How I Met Your Mother, which made it more of like you said, an iconic cast of people. You know them, but maybe you get to know them a little bit more and you see all these people together. So it will be interesting to see who they cast in the show. But just knowing that we're going to get Hillary Duff on our screens is amazing news. Hillary Duff is just, she's timeless. She really is.
She absolutely is. And I'm trying to think, like, do we all know the How I Met Your Mother actors before, or did How I Met Your Mother make us all know who they are? You know,
see, now
saying?
See that I said that, as soon as I said it, I was like, well, maybe we only think they're iconic because
Neil
we
Patrick
know
Harris
how I...
was definitely like everyone.
Neil Patrick him. Harris, Jason Segel,
though. I mean, the show started in 2005. That's a long ass time ago.
I think Jason Segel was already a star.
Jason Segel
sure. Was definitely, well, Jason Segel did Freaks and Geeks.
Oh yeah.
But that was not the only thing he did.
No. I'm looking at his IMDb now. He started acting in 1998.
When did Knocked Up come out?
Knocked
that was like 2007, probably.
Knocked Up was 2007. Forgetting Sarah Marshall was 2008. And I Love You, Man was 2009.
So the show probably propelled him into like another level.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And I think I would say the same for like Neil Patrick Harris and
yeah, because when did like, I don't know, he's not that big on Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
It's a tiny role.
Robin Chbosky.
What's that?
Robin, the girl. I'm going to do this again. I can't. Colby Smolder. Oh, unbelievable. I got a celebrity mashup wrong in the dozen. It was Colby Smolder, and I couldn't remember her real name. And I was looking at it, and I was like, I mean, it's Robin Chbosky, but that's not going to do it. Yeah. Like, I was like, I know who it is, but I'm spacing on her real name.
Well, we knew Lily from American Pie.
Mm-hmm. That's true. No, they were definitely
they
all known
they had
enough.
Things.
Yes.
Yeah, they had things, but that propelled
which
them
I would think they would
more.
Kind of do somewhat of a similar situation for How I Met Your Father, or a mix. I'm always down for a mix.
Yeah, and I think with Hulu and Netflix, they always like to bring in new people, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. always good and cool when you think about it.
Right.
In a way where you're like, oh my God, all these people have a shot.
Right. Could be people from the Hulu universe.
Definitely.
So that's very exciting. And she deserves to have a starring role in another show.
Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather are confirmed fighting each other. Listen, I think props to Logan Paul for getting in a fight with Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. I think at the same time, it's an honor to get in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. He's obviously, you know, 50-0. He's never lost a fight.
You wear that knockout with pride if you get knocked out.
For sure.
If
you get knocked, you're like, I got in the ring with Floyd Mayweather and he knocked me out and I made millions of dollars in the process and I'm proud of that. So I think Logan Paul knows what he's getting himself into 100%.
But here's the thing. Floyd Mayweather he's great to fight because he's not the type of guy who's going to knock you out. And especially Logan's way bigger than him. So...
Yeah, I read that they're going to have to try and, like,
with like, the weight situation. I saw that Logan has to come in at max, like, 190 or something, and Floyd is, like, 160.
Yeah.
So, like, and he's, like, Floyd is 5'8", he's 6'2".
Yeah.
And Floyd just isn't that type of boxer. He's not going to get knocked out. Neither of them,
this
I don't
is,
think.
It's
six rounds, I think.
To be honest... Floyd's not tall enough, I feel like. Like, I don't even know if he can fully,
he's a defender. That's just not who he is. Like,
yeah, it's
Floyd,
first of all, you
Mayweather.
Never know whether. You never know.
You never
this
know,
is what but... I'm like, yeah. I was fighting with Brianna about this earlier.
Yeah.
Because she was like, Logan Paul, it's not gonna be, at first she was saying Logan Paul's got a shot, and then she backed up on that and said, no, she doesn't think Logan Paul's gonna win, but it's not gonna be as bad of a fight as people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? I just don't know how that's even a conversation that people are having, debating if Logan Paul even has, like, if it's even going to be a great fight. Like, it's Floyd Mayweather.
It's like Logan Paul has fought, like, two fights.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather has fought 50 people who their only thing in life is they box.
Yeah,
and he beat all of them.
Yeah.
And they're the best in the world.
And I was saying, like, Conor McGregor, mm-hmm. not a boxer, mm-hmm. but close enough, he couldn't beat Floyd Mayweather. So what makes you think Logan Paul will beat Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah.
You know, like, if anyone was going to beat Floyd Mayweather, who's not a boxer, was gonna be Conor McGregor.
The size thing is going to confuse a lot of people. I think the size thing is going to, like, make people be like, I don't know how to think about this, because you never see two people that are drastically this different in size fight each other, because mm-hmm. that's just not how the sport works. But what I do think, and I think it's kind of funny, is that Logan taking this fight, I just feel like exposes Jake even more as, like, not, I don't want to say fraud, because I think that's too aggressive of a word, but if Logan's willing to get in the ring with Floyd Mayweather and isn't, like, screaming from the rooftops that, like, I want to be a professional boxer, but Jake is like, I want boxing to be my career, take me seriously, I want to do it, and he's, like, not actually fighting boxers.
I think it's a weird thing, though, because, like, Jake would definitely fight Floyd Mayweather if he
for
got
sure.
the chance.
I think
so. Then how come? Do you think though? But then why is Floyd fighting Logan?
Because
not
Logan low key wants to be a boxer. He moved to Puerto Rico so he can focus on boxing.
No, but also, yeah,
you know, like that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's so.
And also, maybe Floyd is like Jake is better than Logan. Like, I don't know. But like,
I don't think Floyd Mayweather knows anything about the Paul brothers. I don't
definitely
think he
not.
Knows.
I mean,
I think he was told, "Hey, Logan Paul's a fucking huge name.
This is how many zeros your check is.
You're
going to
get a lot of money." Because
I think I saw something like they're only fighting six rounds. It's an exhibition, which I still don't even know.
Happening June 5th.
Also weird because that's the date that you guys were saying, like the Bryce Hall, like that whole thing is happening.
I don't know. I didn't say that. I don't know.
I think it is though.
I don't know.
Oh shit! The next Thriller Fight Night, I actually think is June 5th.
Like they're competing against that.
It's going to be on Showtime. Showtime pay-per-view.
Oh, really?
Triller's mm-hmm. going to be...
The Logan Floyd.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm watching the Logan Paul.
Yeah,
is Showtime.
Yeah.
100%.
Showtime pay-per-view.
Because also, I support Logan Paul now.
Are you rooting for Logan Paul?
I mean, yeah. Floyd Mayweather is a worse guy than Logan Paul is. Definitely. You know, when it comes down to it, of course, you respect him as a boxer, but he's really not like this stand-up guy, Floyd Mayweather. No, he's not.
And you can't say the same thing about you can really, say the same
yeah,
thing
it is
going to
be head-to-head.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather, that's going to be on June 5th on Showtime. And this next
Bryce Hall has to be
Thriller Fight Club is scheduled for June 5th. And that's the Evander Holyfield and Kevin McBride fight.
It may sound crazy that I'm like, oh, I now root for Logan Paul, but I do think Logan Paul has made a lot of mistakes. I think he's addressed them. And I think if you were to listen, if anybody's like still very much anti-Logan Paul, I think anybody who listens to his podcast, I don't listen to it all the time, but mm-hmm. I've listened to clips. I think he's very smart and I think he's grown a lot. And I think he shows that when he speaks. I really do. So I don't hate Logan Paul as much as I did. I can't stand Jake Paul. Stand. That will not change. I can't stand Jake Paul. I really can't. But Logan Paul, I can respect.
Yeah. It's just that logistics is interesting to me about like Logan fighting Floyd Mayweather and Jake. Who knows who Jake even fights next?
Clip where Logan Paul said he'd rather fight Floyd than Conor McGregor. Like, I think he said that, but I can't remember. But like, either way.
Yeah.
I think Floyd Mayweather is obviously going to win. That's number one. I feel like everyone's on board with that.
Yeah.
I think Logan Paul is going to gain respect for just getting in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. I think they're both going to get a lot of money from it. And it's going to be exciting. And I think, I wouldn't say, like, I can't be like, yes, I am rooting for Logan Paul because I know he doesn't have, like, it would be awesome. It would be so cool, right? If somebody, like a YouTuber, knocks out Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, Logan Paul knocked out Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. That's insane. Big news headline.
At the same time, though, people, you know that if he does
The boxing purists would hate it.
But
though.
Also,
oh, of course,
people would be like, this was an exhibition. He's 44 years old. It was 6 rounds, not a real fight. Like, they would have a billion things
for
to
sure, say. But I'm not worried about that. Right. It's more so just like,
Floyd could come in and be like, hey, I'm taking my check and you could knock me out. Like, it could be the other way around, you know? Like,
I mean, he's never lost. It would be shocking.
He would never do it, but.
Like, let me be 50-1.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's how crazy it would be. That's why it would be cool if Logan Paul won, just because of the aftermath of him winning would be like nuts to follow and make it so much more interesting of a story. Whereas like Floyd Mayweather wins and everyone's like, we knew that was coming. It's just how
also,
he does
like,
it.
Floyd has made his whole career off like people hating him and like people watch just to like hope he loses and he never does.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but I guess we're going to be having competing fight nights.
Which one will you be watching?
I mean, how could you even like? It has
No, that's 100%. I'm thinking like if you even just watch, if you try and watch both of them. But I'm not even really super interested in the main fight. Like I'm not a boxing fan. Like, I'm not going to tune in to watch Evander Holyfield.
Like, when Floyd Mayweather fights, like, everyone watches.
Everyone watches. It's like when Conor McGregor does. Everyone watches.
Correct.
It's just like.
Correct.
It's just a thing you do.
It's like the greatest. Like, when someone like is the best in their sport, you just have to watch.
The main fights on this Thriller Fight Night didn't really like pop out at me where it's like I need to watch it, but we'll see, because I bet you there's going to be performances again, and if that's the case, I'm gonna have to watch those.
Yeah, but I think those are more likely to be like Jake Paul, where it could just end in 1 second. It's like, why did I just spend money on this? Floyd, I think that's going like the full 6 rounds. Like,
yeah I think no matter what, no matter that he's gonna beat him or whatever, it's still gonna be interesting to watch, and just you're just like, wow, like Logan Paul, YouTuber, getting in the ring. He's probably like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
What am I doing? I'm getting in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. How do you process that? How do you process
that? You have to be slightly sick in the head.
He is, definitely.
I think he is, because remember when it like got announced, he made that video, and he pretty much was just like, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like, he's shocked.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Staying in the YouTube world for a little bit, David Dobrik back trending on Twitter once again after Jeff Wittick's documentary released his story. He's telling his side of what went down with his injury. And to be honest, I'm just going to pass it to you because I know what happened. I understand it. I watched it. I know the injury. I just feel like you know a lot more details of what exactly happened to him. And Jeff, member of the vlog squad.
Yeah, Jeff Whittick.
If you don't know who it is.
First of all, like, let's... The fact that everybody's talking about this today, right? It makes sense. It's a big thing. But put some respect on Jeff's name, you know? He's been making content for a while. And even when he did that shit with Cody Ko and Jake Paul, people still didn't even know it was Jeff, you know? So I feel like it's
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The whole thing.
You do.
You do? The whole thing between Cody Ko and Jake Paul Oh. That was Jeff's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, didn't know that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
At the time, I didn't know who Jeff was. No. But looking back.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So Jeff is the one who set up Cody.
But if you watch the episode, he makes it clear, like, he didn't know exactly what Jake was going to do. He thought it was just going to be, like, a fun thing.
Yeah, he thought it was going to be a fun thing. Jake would pop out and be like, ah, and then they would all laugh and joke. And he was like, I did not know Jake was going to do an anti-bullying campaign. Like, didn't know that was going to happen. Yeah. He went on a hike with Cody after.
Yeah.
And he thought Cody was fine. I know too much. He thought, I'm telling you, like, we're friends. He thought Cody was fine with him. And then he thinks that the internet got to Cody's head and Cody was a little mad at Jeff. But then apparently Cody has reached out to Jeff recently.
Okay, good.
To maybe make another video. That's besides the point. This is what happened. So the vlog squad, they took a break from making videos when COVID hit because obviously the gatherings and shit were hard to do. And David's videos are very out and about, all the vlogs. And they were planning to have a big comeback vlog. And it was, I think it was going to be like centered around a lot of extreme stunts and shit, just like things of that nature to really, I guess, make an impact. We're back. Here's the big thing. So it started off with they were doing skydiving and Jeff and then Natalie and Todd, who are also members of the vlog squad, they went skydiving with Jeff like at least 20 times. You have to go 25 times to get a license. And so they were doing all of that.
Which David didn't do.
And in the video, you could see this. Jeff has a documentary out on YouTube and it's called Don't Try This at Home. And so there's two episodes out. And now this is where everyone's getting this information from. And in the video, David says, oh, I was thinking about coming, but I don't think it's a good idea. And so they're out there skydiving, jumping from planes for David's video. Right. He's not.
For the vlog that'll be under David's
under
name.
Under David's name. Yeah, definitely. So he said, Jeff was like, I was ready to do whatever stunt. So they got an excavator on a lake and they said the lake was about 1 foot deep and they were doing different things like wake surfing, tubing, and it all was going fun and David whipping it around and David
spinning people around on a rope.
Yeah. I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
I was telling it in a dramatic sense, but okay. Thank you guys. So David was driving it and then Jeff said, I want to step up this game. This is supposed to be a funny vlog. If you want to see somebody wake surfing, just look up somebody wake surfing. So they had the idea to get on the rope from the excavator and David would spin it around. Corinna, vlog squad member, she went first. And in the video, he's going too fast and you hear her say, David, you always take things too far. She gets off the rope. She's like all like mad because David took things too far. Jeff gets on the rope. David, once again, takes things too far, swung it way too fast. He smashed his entire face into the excavator, the metal, it split his head open and he fell into the lake unconscious. And they show parts of it in the documentary, not obviously the gruesome stuff, not actually hitting it, but
it it makes you gasp. Like you're watching it, you see him spinning and you're like,
so it's gonna be like graphic.
I'm sure it is. And he fucked himself up bad. Yeah. His whole he has brain damage, his eye socket was fucked. They said he was like an inch away from like being dead. Like if it just hit a little bit further, boom, that he would have been done for. Literally his whole face split open, stitches everywhere. He goes into more detail about it on other podcasts and shit of like exactly what happened. I'm sure in the next episode he'll say all the things that went wrong in his face, but he got fucked up, literally almost lost his life, near death experience, as close as you can get to death. And I think that Jeff has struggled a lot since then, just like watching him as a creator before and now watching him now, you can tell. Mm-hmm. You can just tell he's not the same person. You can tell he's really struggling. And this is something that is partially David's fault. And as much as Jeff doesn't want to say that, I think he's trying to protect David. He's trying to protect his friend, obviously. But the video...
Like more than partially.
The video... David's driving the thing and he's whipping him too fast. Yes, Jeff said he would get on that rope. But David's the one who whipped it fast and is the one driving it and controlled that setting of it. So
accidents happen 100%, but also like you're putting yourself in a very dangerous situation, probably without the safety measures that you should. Like, how is David qualified to even be operating this device? Like, you have to have a license for that. You have to go through training to even operate those things. And so you watch the, you see the video and you see him like in the driver's seat and he's spinning around, he's laughing, he's got his camera, like he has no idea what he's doing. And so there is, of course, I think some blame where it's like, you really don't have, like, I doubt he did any research on how to really like be safe using something like that, because one, you're not even supposed to use something like that to swing people around in the first place.
Right.
And with Corinna going first and seeing Corinna's reaction and like being like, you're taking this too far, to then David not have any thought of like, ooh, this could maybe be a bad idea.
I think David for a while was under the impression that nothing could ever go wrong with him. And I think he is
100%
really realizing 100%
that like he's always joked like, oh, I'm going to kill one of my friends. Like, he said that. Like,
Yeah, and he, Jeff said himself, he said, I thought I was doing a funny thing for a video. Little did I know the biggest idiot I know was driving it. So he took that shot at David. David's in the vlog, I mean, in the documentary, I think we'll see him talk in the next episode a bit more about what happened. But there was a post in the summer that was going around that the people at the lake that were there that... God bless were there and were able to drive Jeff, said that obviously David was in absolute shambles, like in the car on the way, like, holy fuck, like, I may have just killed my friend. And so that really sucks, because I think obviously David Dobrik very wrong in a lot of these situations. I think that's coming to light. I think that's very clear. At the same time, I think you could feel bad for the sole fact that he now has to live, that he permanently, like, fucked up his friend. Because Jeff definitely has, obviously, still some damage. He said that he's gone through, like, many surgeries now for it. Still has shit to do for it. It's not all fixed. And
he's not even, like, comfortable not wearing glasses.
He's not comfortable not wearing glasses. He... I saw he was very, very upset in the YouTube comments where people kept reposting the non-censored video of what happened. And he wrote some really sad things where he was like, do you guys want me to blow my brains out if I have to keep rewatching this? Like, it's really affecting him. It's really traumatic. And he's like, his parents haven't seen it and he's trying to protect his parents from seeing it. So the comments that he was writing back to people on YouTube just seemed really sad. It seems like he's in like a really dark place over all this. And somebody who I feel like Jeff is a very good looking guy. And obviously that's like, he knows that. And then all of a sudden your shit gets wrecked. Right. And then your outward appearance, you're going to start thinking about that a little bit more. It's going to fuck with your mind a little bit. You're like, this is not who I was. I mean, I still think he looks great, obviously, but it's really,
it's
really crazy what happened.
Remember over the summer where everyone's like, why isn't David putting out any vlogs, blah, blah, blah. It's like, he was going to put this one out to come back. And then obviously like, he's like, all right, I guess I'm not putting any vlogs out. Cause like after that happens.
Right. How do you,
he was gonna
how
make
do
that
you,
his whole comeback.
How do you go on from that? How do you say, I'm going to come back from this after the one time you tried to come back? Your friend almost died. So not a good situation.
No.
Not a good situation. It was interesting to see that all of the Vlog Squad members were like there, though. Like, I was very shocked to see Corinna, because I feel like we haven't seen Corinna with them. And I was like, whoa, they really were planning to come back. And it just, bad news.
Yeah, that'll make you, for everyone there, also like reevaluate what they're doing, right? Like, I think even... Because everyone was wondering, like, in this time, what were they all doing? There was no videos coming out. Are they friends? Are they not friends? And when, as a group, you all witness something like that, it's terrifying. And it's like, should we all, like, be doing this? Should we all, I think maybe we should just do our own thing for a while. This whole thing with David is just maybe not working out so well.
Yeah, the video will give you chills because you see everybody run into the water.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
And honestly, I used to support David Dobrik, and now you see like all this shit come to light. And you're like, okay, those were fucked up things.
Yeah.
And you just hear his laugh, and you're like, oh, shut up. You know, not when he fell, but when he's like doing it, when he's driving the excavator and controlling it, and he's like, ha ha.
Yeah.
And then his friend fucking collapses into the ground. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it just sounded too much like the vlog where I was like, this is weird. This is weird that this was all going to be a vlog. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. Big time.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Reality Steve put out a statement this week after there was a discussion on Chatty Broad's podcast, Becca with a K's podcast, about just his past behavior and the past articles he would write and the way he would talk about the women. I believe they specifically referenced like how he spoke about Jade after, you know, Jade had a Playboy photo shoot, something like he was just speaking about women in a very exploitative way. And he addressed this. He put out a tweet saying, wanted to address my past writings that were brought to light again today in a podcast. There was no excuse for them. I'm embarrassed I thought that way. I'm embarrassed I wrote it. And ever since, I've done whatever I could to change that line of thinking. Those that have followed me in recent years have recognized the change in my blog, in my tweets, and on my podcast. While it should have been removed earlier, they are currently being removed from my site. I've never shied away from acknowledging these writings and will apologize for them. I do not think that way anymore, and I hope my behavior in recent years has proven that. I'm sorry to anyone who had to read those things. I am and will continue to do better. Now, Demi Burnett, who we love, retweeted Reality Steve and put out a statement, and she said, no, you haven't changed at Reality Steve, and this is what she wrote. She said, no, Steve, you haven't changed. I wasn't going to ever say anything out of fear of criticism, but after being made aware of this tweet and your history of treating women, I had to say something. You are someone who has a problematic history of gossiping about Bachelor Nation cast personal lives, often spreading gossip that was false and damaging to those people. This has resulted in a sort of power you have over us. Out of fear of you talking bad about us. Many cast members in Bachelor Nation decide to try to have a professional relationship with you and be friendly, hoping that might prevent you from gossiping about us. After you outed me as a bisexual before I had a chance to tell my family, I figured, fuck it. I forgot about that. That was fucked up. I might as well respond to you to try to avoid you gossiping about my personal life any longer. Last August, you messaged me telling me you had something you wanted to share with me. You said, quote, it was bizarre and something you couldn't put into writing. Fearing it was some gossip you heard about me, I agreed to talk on the phone with you. Then you proceeded to tell me about a graphic sex dream you had of me. I felt uncomfortable and wasn't sure how I should handle your unwanted and unprompted sexual advance. So I laughed and tried to get off the phone with you as quickly as possible. I was always friendly to you, and you took my friendliness as an excuse to trick me into listening to your sexual fantasies about me. It felt gross. I don't think I deserve to have you make me feel this way. I don't think these other women, who you so disgustingly mocked for cheap laughs and website traffic, deserved it either. I was afraid to say anything out of fear of your retribution, but then I thought of the many other future women to come on the show, and I don't think they deserve it either. You haven't changed, Steven. Future women don't deserve your harassment either. For anyone who doesn't believe me, here's a screenshot of our text conversation following that phone call where you asked me to keep it a secret while continuing to emphasize your enjoyment. So in the text, he wrote, and yeah, I really hope I can trust you with what I told you. I wanted to share it with you because it was so random and so funny. And Demi said, I got you. No worries. Smiley face. And he said, thanks. And then she said, also, I'm asleep. That's why I haven't said anything. Ha ha. And then he goes, but it was fucking hot. Ha ha. If it sucked, I wouldn't have told you. Ha ha. Me too. Good night. And she wrote, good night. Ha ha. So it's like, it's very uncomfortable. Kind of made me feel super icky because I'm just thinking, right? Like, I'm thinking of someone that I have a personal or professional relationship with, or both, and they're older guy, and they take the time to call me on the phone to tell me that they had a sex dream about me. I would be wildly uncomfortable and feel so violated. Like, it's like, what? why would you ever think that that's like a story you need to share with the person the dream was about? And even friends, like even this is like maybe a bad comparison, but if I had a sex dream about one of my guy friends, I'm not going to tell my guy friend about the sex dream I had about him.
Never.
Like, it's just never. Not something that is you need not to share.
Something you do.
Yeah. Even if a guy friend said to me, like, oh, I had a sex dream about you, I'd be like, ugh.
I'd be like, that's weird. Yeah. Why would you tell me that? Also,
and
because
they're not even friends.
No, it's so uncomfortable. It's so not right. We have never really liked Reality Steve. No. I would say that. We always had a very icky feeling about him.
Yeah.
The whole thing is so weird. Like, the way you put it, you don't tell people about those types of dreams because, first of all, they don't matter. Yeah. Like, what are you getting? What are you getting from that? Yeah. Like, first of all, well, that's not the first of all. That comes later. First of all, it's very weird to do that. Like, that is just wildly inappropriate. You never get on the phone.
It's a sexual advance. It's making
for
an advance.
Sure in a very uncomfortable way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really put a bad taste in my mouth, and I think Demi is very brave for putting that out on social media mm-hmm. the way that she did. I think she should have done that. I think it's a good thing she did that, and I just think it's incredibly uncomfortable. Like, yeah. Thinking about Reality Steve calling up Demi and saying those things, and then I saw some people.
I just wish people would stop giving him information.
No, I know.
No, like, I wish
know.
He stopped having.
Right. I wish he would. He stopped being the source because people are still going to follow Reality Steve. We don't look at spoilers, so we actually don't look at Reality Steve shit. But people really do. People love spoilers. They love looking at his stuff.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. But it's also like, I saw some people replying to Demi's tweets that really pissed me off. And they were like, well, if you were uncomfortable at the time, and women, by the way, women replying these things.
Yeah, I know.
If you were uncomfortable at the time, then why wouldn't you say that? Have you never been in a situation where you were uncomfortable, but you laughed it off because you didn't want to further to make it uncomfortable because you're a little afraid?
Yeah.
Like, that is what happened there. You can even tell in the text exchange between Demi mm-hmm. and Reality Steve that she was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Saying ha-ha and stuff doesn't mean, like, you could tell. You can read those text messages and tell that Demi was not ha-ha-ha what he was saying.
Yeah.
So those replies really pissed me off, especially coming from other women and people even liking that tweet. I'm like, what? How do you support something like that? It makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either. I don't know how you don't feel like that as... One, if you've never been in that situation before, good for you. But like, if you have it, there are, like, you can't always expect to be like, this is wrong. Like, what are you doing? Like, because it's scary. It's intimidating. You don't necessarily know how the other person is going to react. And this is something women have had to deal with for such a long time, where laughing it off and trying to get out of the situation as quickly as possible is sometimes the safest way to do things. And like, when she went back and looked and was like, that was really traumatizing. I hated that. And she's sharing it now. And I also hated his response. He said, I had no idea at the time that conversation made you feel that way. I am apologizing now, knowing how uncomfortable I made you feel. I crossed boundaries I didn't think at the time I was crossing. I did not know this until today. So for that, I hope you can accept my apology. And then this, a woman replied saying, I'm not going to lie, this apology feels like you're blaming her, which isn't a great look. And he said, I'm not blaming her at all. I did not know how she felt until less than an hour ago. So once I found out she felt this way, I apologized to her both personally and here on Twitter. So,
but
I don't care if you didn't know that it was creepy at the time. Like,
there's something wrong with you if you didn't know that it was creepy at the time to call somebody up and say, hey, I had a sex dream about you.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, that's not like a ha-ha funny conversation.
That's not something you do all the time. That's not something that people do. It's weird.
Yeah.
So, very unfortunate situation.
Don't like that at all.
Don't like it. The thing is also, Demi probably felt Reality Steve. He can blow up people's lives sometimes, putting something out there.
Like she mentioned, her being bisexual, he put out to the world.
He put that out.
Yeah.
Maybe she thought, hey, if I piss Reality Steve off. Yeah, if I piss Reality Steve off, he's going to write something bad about me. Then other people in the Bachelor world and I'm in the Bachelor world, they're going to think that about me. There are so many things that go through people's minds as to why they don't say something in the moment.
Yeah.
And then you take a step back and you think about it after and you think, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
It's a traumatizing experience. I did not like it.
Yeah. It's an example of a man being in a position of power and then trying to claim he didn't realize he was in a position of power.
Right. Really just gross.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. We have a fun segment for everybody today. We have the girls from Black Girls Texting. We got Chelsea, Glenn, and Sade. We are so excited to have you guys on. I know that we've rescheduled this a few times now, and I'm glad that we are finally sitting down with each other. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
So, I know. Bree and I do that all the time too. When we all say,
We start talking at the same time. We're like, that's freaking me out. You guys are talking at the same time. But so you guys got involved with your podcast through Lady Gang?
No, we've been doing the podcast first.
Yeah, you did the podcast first, and then somehow you got connected with the Lady Gang Network.
They slid in our DMs.
Amazing. That sounds like Kelty. So yeah, give us some background on. Just how you guys started this podcast and honestly who you guys are. If you all, I know it's like a round table of being like, introduce yourselves, but we would just want for our listeners just to kind of get to know you guys a little bit.
Of course. You guys take away the origin story because you guys don't like how I tell it. So go crazy.
Okay. Glenn was doing a project for her MFA. She was studying how Black women interact. And her teacher was kind of like, or her professor was kind of like, sit at a hair salon. And she was like, no, this is not like 1950. So we actually interact in our group chat. And then we just went to the studio and just kind of never stopped. But like our group chat, it runs the gambit. It's like we talk about guys. We talk about political issues. We talk about how to open up an IRA. We talk about random stuff. And so our listeners like really get like an inside scoop into our group chat.
Love that.
And how did you guys get into your group chat? How do you guys all know each other?
Yeah. Well, this is the funny thing. Well, when you said the group chat, we can get into like how we all met. But the funny thing is that the group chat started with like 8 ladies in it, and people slowly started getting kind of like removed from the chat, whittled away.
You removed someone from the chat.
Yeah, Chelsea actually removed someone. You know, are you ever in a group chat where there's like ghosts in there, like lurking ghosts?
I have all the tea. Yeah, I have a group chat that's 9 women, and there has been a point where like one of us has been like just disappeared for a while, where we've had a conversation out of the group chat of like, what do we got to do about this? Like, do we take her out? Like, she hasn't responded in months.
You have a second group chat that's 8 people, and that 9th one, and you're just like, well, do we just start talking in a new one?
Sometimes you form the new one just so you can save face of not having to remove the one who's not showing up.
That's a kinder thing to do.
So you guys were just kicking people out. You were like, you're not welcomed here anymore. I'm removing you.
At least we were being honest. There was some
judgy stuff going on. And we were like, ew, why are you in here then? Like, this is where we get into all the shit that we do. So why, ew, get out. But Glenn and I are friends, like kind of childhood friends. We met when we were younger and didn't really like each other.
Amazing. Love that.
You said I was bougie and strange. Yes.
Strange is
hilarious. Bougie and strange.
Very funny way to describe somebody that you end up being friends with. You still think she's strange, probably.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. I told her the other day, I was like, you have not changed. You're still bougie and strange and loud. Bad at that.
But now you learned to love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then Chelsea and I met in high school and we started going out. And like, I was like, oh, she was at boarding school at the time. And I was like, oh, my God, this girl's so cool. She's got to come in. Hang out with us. And then I don't know, it's just been years.
She's taking us to clubs when we were 15.
Okay, we're
gonna tell the story.
Yeah, when I was 15 years old, she took me to a club. When we got in front of the like bouncer, he's like, show me your ID. Obviously I'm 15, I have no ID. So I showed him a Sephora gift card and he like looked at it and like was really examining the card and then let us all in. And that night I got so lit. I fell down a flight of stairs. I got up. My eye, I had like a black eye, and I just like put my hair like this. And I was like, I want to stay. a very wild night.
That's you were amazing. Dedicated and then I was like, to the she club can hang. Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you knew, all right, I'm locking her in as a friend. But I exactly. feel like that was in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah that's just, like, I mean, the bouncers in New York City, I feel like when you're super underage, like I remember going to a New York places. City club yeah. at 16 where they were like, you just hand them anything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just, we're
yeah.
going to let them know. Too. You just hand them anything and they're going to nod their heads and pretend like whatever you're handing them works. It's crazy.
I don't think this place exists anymore.
Yeah. yeah.
Are you guys from New York too?
Yeah.
I grew up in New Jersey. She grew up in New York, Long Island.
Yeah.
But we both have been living in Manhattan for, I don't know, last 5-ish years or so. And no, I remember coming to the city when I was like 16. I think we went to this place called Riff Raff. I think it was Riff Raff.
Of course you went right? to Riff Raff.
Yes, of course, they did the fucking face paint. Yes, it was like the most, paint. Yeah, it was like the coolest thing to go to and like post that you went
throwback.
To.
Yep.
And then I remember seeing like a few years ago that it no longer existed. But that was like the quintessential place where
underage.
you would be like, hey, I'm 22, and they'd be like, okay, have fun.
Right.
So illegal. So illegal.
I miss the club.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
So much.
Especially in New York City. It's like, what are we doing here? You know,
yeah.
Going to dinner.
We had...
I do not miss the club.
We had Justin Sylvester from E! on the show this week, and he was like, I just want to kiss a stranger. He's like, I just want to kiss a stranger.
Yeah. Have a dance floor make out.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So do you guys all work together or no?
No. We all have 9-to-5s, but yeah.
I was going to say, do you guys like talk about your real life jobs as well?
Yeah vaguely. Yeah. I don't need my job to know that I have a podcast.
Right.
That's so your job doesn't know that you have a podcast.
Mine doesn't really know.
Well, I'm a pre-K teacher, among other things, so I like to hope that my job doesn't know and none of the
they
parents
know.
Of my
what
children.
Are you saying?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to be honest, like, you guys are sitting right here on the show with us, and I think they might know.
You guys all have it in your Instagram. I was looking at your Instagrams. Like, you guys all got it in your Instagram bios. Like, people
you know
are
what
working.
I love? It's that... is it like a TikTok, whatever? It's like, nobody's going to know. How are they going to know? Yeah. Like literally that. I'm like, what do you mean? My job, like we don't talk about it, but I'm sure if you like went into my socials, you could easily figure it out. But yeah, we all work. We all have very hectic, busy schedules, but we love doing this. So we like come back to it week after week. So it makes it all worth it.
I love that. Yeah, it's hard to give up the shit talking. Like it's just the most fun. It's a great way to relax, especially if you guys have stressful jobs. Like it's the best way to decompress. And like you said, you guys are doing it anyway in your group chat, so now you're just letting everybody in on the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's fun. It's therapeutic.
And is it as like you guys keep mentioning the group chat, and we listen to some of your show and you guys mention the group chat and you're spilling the tea from your group chat. Is it you guys obviously talk in a group chat all the time. Do you actually take the things that you are talking about in the group chat and take it to the show? Or is it more so like now, because you guys have been doing this for a while, it's like, oh, we will plan out what we're going to talk about on the show? Or is it just a mixture of both?
It's a mix, right?
Yeah. There's some light planning, but, you know, this is really what we're talking about in the group chat. And we like bring it. We try to take it like a step further if we can. Like if we're talking about, I don't know, one time we were talking about Blue Ivy, and at one point they were like, everyone was making fun of her hair. And so we took it a step further and like talked about like featureism, which has to do with how you look and like, you know, what's
extrism,
considered beautiful
right?
and what's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So you're really just diving
love
deeper
that.
Into topics that just get brought up into daily life, but you're like, let's really talk about it.
Yeah, like yeah. Talking about pop culture is with a twist. If we can find a way to connect it to something larger, we do that.
Right, like we all had this
context.
Yeah, like we all had this opinion. Why did we all have this opinion, which is right. I like that. Yes, I like that a lot. And you guys are on the and Lady Gang.
Sometimes we're talking about nonsense.
Too. Yeah,
so it's like yeah. balance.
Of course, you got to have the nonsense, or else it's sometimes it's you can't be too serious all the time.
Yeah, and it's almost like shit you don't learn in school that you should be learning about. Mm. Like you mentioned, you mentioned how to start an IRA. Like my dad was trying to teach me that a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, "How? Like, what is going on? We didn't learn any of this in school. Feels like something I should know about. Never even heard of it till now." So,
that's the power of the group chat.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I was about to say, you guys are now on the Lady Gang Network, and you said that was a DM slide. So, tell us that story. How'd you guys get connected with them?
Yeah, you got the shot in.
Yeah, I'm like vaguely trying to. Janelle Monáe. So we interviewed Janelle Monáe and Kiersey Clemons. They had a film come out called
Antebellum.
Antebellum. Sorry, that was the name of the episode. We named the episode "Not Another Slave Movie." Anywho, Antebellum. It was like a horror film, but like with this twist. And they were amazing. It was like very well received. And I guess Kelty was like looking up Janelle Monáe, like literally like Googling or something. And our podcast came up. So hello, SEO relevancy.
Yeah.
And then she like hit us up and was like, "Hey, are you guys on a network? Like, what's the deal? What's up?" And in our DMs. And then we just kept talking from there. But ironically, we had been approached by a producer like a year prior who was like, talking to us about a concept of maybe doing some type of a show. And they were like, "Yeah, you know, you guys are giving us Lady Gang vibes." And we were like, "Oh, who are they?"
Yeah.
And then boom. They told us we couldn't talk about politics. So we're not Lady Gang. Yeah. We're different, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's how we connected. And we love connecting with like other girl podcasters, you know, that we're few and far in between. So
absolutely. We do too. It's been one of the coolest things. With creating a podcast, and the two of us, I think we felt that too, like doing things like this and being on other women's shows, because you connect and then you just like create a very cool bond. It's a cool, and even like, and even with like, the Lady Gang, like we've had Kelty Beck and Jack on the show a few times, and you just, there's just an understanding,
right? You get each other, and you just have like this unspoken social media friendship at the same time now, because you like did each other's show one time. And you're like, "Oh, now we're friends. We get each other."
Yeah,
we get
it's
it.
So wild. We were just talking about how like podcasting is a whole thing. Like, this is a legitimate thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's the more and more that we start to become a part of this community, I'm just like seeing all the possibilities, and
yeah,
it's always dope to connect with other podcasters. And
still not learning your lesson and slamming your hands on the table.
I know. I've been doing that since episode one. I get very
slams her hand on the table, and then like you'll be listening, and it's like whoop, and you're like, "Oh my god,
same."
She's a New Yorker. Like,
I do the same exact thing, and we really should know by now not to do it. I mean, I actually did a show last night where I then got onto my Twitter, and every single mention of mine was, "Rhea, please stop banging on the table." And I was shit. Like, it was a live show too, so I had no idea. Nobody at the time was telling me like, "Stop banging your shit on the table." And I just opened up my, and it was just all like, "Oh, thanks for creating your own base during the show." Oops. So don't worry. We all do
flavor.
It. Yeah, exactly. Right, I'm like trying to give it a little beat. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. I'm trying to add a little spice to my talking. So now that you guys have been doing the podcast and you said you're becoming a part of this community more, where do you guys see yourself going with this? Is it like something where you think about dropping the 9 to 5 and taking it on full time?
Where is Black Girls Tech? In a year from now.
Yeah.
Who likes a 9 to 5?
That's what I'm saying. Not us.
No one's ever asked us this, actually.
Really?
No. I think we have like a lot of thoughts around what we can do, where we can take this, because like for us, it's not. Okay, this is going to sound like the corniest shit ever. Like, I'm running for a political campaign, but like, it's not just a podcast. It's a movement. But like, really, like, we have such an amazing community, and like, so much of the stories that we're telling are not solely for your ears. Like, they can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. You can read things, you can watch things. So like, who knows where that could go? Hint, hint, wink, wink, anybody out there? And okay, 9 to 5, I'm going to stick in my 9 to 5 for a little bit because I'm waiting for my stocks to vest. But then...
Fair enough.
So fair.
So fair.
So fair.
That is a valid point. You got to stick to that. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really think like
that's how we got. Hey, we got locked in here for a while because we got that too.
Yeah.
We have
right.
It's the same thing with the at Barstool. We have Penn stock and it's like we got to.
I was planning on staying here anyway, but. Yeah.
No, of course. I wasn't saying, hey, I'm telling you right now that this is over. No, I was not saying that. But no, that's like, definitely,
that's the only reason I'm still working with Rhea. But,
that is for sure a very, very valid point. We want to talk to you guys about a little pop culture fun just to see what you guys are into, what your vibe is.
Let's
so
do it.
We're going to start off with. Who are your number one celebrity crushes?
Ooh.
Where do I begin?
Yeah. I know. I don't breaks know. Out the whole list. Well. Breaks out yep. the scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the name of it?
Yes.
What's the guy's name from Snowfall?
Chelsea? Oh, the main guy. I don't know.
Have y'all ever seen the show? This man, he's British and
he was
fine.
On Black Mirror, too.
Ooh. I don't know.
I got to look it up now.
He is Damson Idris. Sexy.
Oh,
he's on there. And also the girls know I love a kind of like I like a man that can lean into his femininity a little bit. So I love Steve Lacy.
Okay.
He's fine as hell.
He's very handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Yes.
And the British thing is really just
the
such
British
a plus.
Thing kills
That's
it.
Just points. Yeah.
Always
points automatically.
Always
automatic
helps.
Points.
I could go on and on, but you guys.
Yeah. Who else we got?
I don't really have celebrity crushes. I guess the first one that comes to mind is Jason Momoa, but
that's a celebrity crush.
He's so taken. Large.
I like that.
So
yeah,
big.
He's taken and love his wife, so it's like hard to really. Yeah. You know, you don't want to disrespect them.
Yeah.
Sounds like they don't know who we are. They'll never know. But you're you know, I love
her.
Less.
She's Lisa Bonet. But
exactly. Exactly. And she always looks, but there's something very appealing about that. She always looks so cute and tiny next to him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I
can't think of anybody, but like I'm in this like tatted long hair phase. Okay, Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian are goals right now. So like someone in the Travis Barker aesthetic. Like
interesting.
Chelsea just scoffed at you so hard. Like she was like, I can't believe you just said that.
She didn't like that answer.
What? How's that interesting?
So
try again.
Hot.
Go again. No, I'm kidding.
Nah, I'm into it. That video
it's
that he
not
posted
just
the point
him.
Stuck in his thumb.
Okay, but give us a second choice.
Go in that vibe. Like just envision someone with that energy.
So Machine Gun Kelly.
Right.
That was like a big crush of mine in college. But yes, you're getting the aesthetic. Like cover him in tattoos. I like some hair though. Like I want him to put in a little bun.
Yeah. So like a rocker type.
I'm trying to think. I feel like normally we could peg a name from this description.
I know.
I just did Machine Gun Kelly.
No, but long hair like ponytail.
Who's got the long hair, ponytail, and tats?
Long hair, ponytail, and tats. Our listeners are probably going to be screaming names of their phones.
Girl, let me know.
I was going to say, well, give me some. Give
long
me some.
Hair,
or,
ponytail,
you know,
man.
You don't have to be a celeb. You could be just a nice.
Sade is known for taking down models. So maybe you can find some models.
I feel like that's a good mod. That is kind of a model description covered in tattoos and ponytail.
Exactly. Yeah.
She's like, and also 6'5". Great.
The risky models, because models aren't really allowed to have tattoos a lot of the time. So it's more so like a edgy model.
Exactly.
100%. And then what are you guys binging right now? Whether it's a scripted show or reality TV, what do you guys turn on at night to relax?
Lord, let me mute so Chelsea can do her monologue.
Yes, I am a TV connoisseur.
Amazing.
So I really love Snowfall. I really love Ted Lasso. I really love, what else am I watching?
I just started watching Cruel Summer.
On Hulu?
I haven't seen that one.
That shit is crazy.
Do you recommend?
I recommend.
I got
TV. I got texts in my group chat last night being like, you guys got to watch Cruel Summer. My friends were freaking out.
Wait,
I think it's like, it's like teen mystery, right? Which is right up my alley.
But it's giving less teen than I thought. I just binged Generation.
Okay.
And I really liked
that. Oh, I did not like the pilot.
Young Gen Z. I didn't like it either. The pilot was crazy. And I was like, I'm not watching this. But then I came back and I was like, I love this. The youth.
Okay. Cruel Summer, definitely. Cruel Summer,
do you advise I watch that alone? Am I going to be scared? That was such a, like, a lame thing to ask, but I have
No, I feel you. I feel you. No. It's not scary like that. Did y'all see the show where the girl, like, it's based on a true story? Oh, I guess you know who's in Cruel Summer, but it's based on a true story. It was also on Hulu, and she killed her mom,
yeah,
who was keeping her captive.
Gypsy Rose.
Yes, we were obsessed with that. Loved that show.
That show was crazy.
Gypsy Rose. It was
The Act. The Act. Thank you. The Act. Oh, we were obsessed with The Act.
So good. But creepy. Yes. I almost couldn't watch that alone at times, though. I had to, like, tell my boyfriend, can you watch this one episode with me? It's going to be really creepy. And then he was like, no, I don't want to see that either. Like, I'm creeped out. But in a good way. In a good way.
I'm basic. Wow. You guys, I'm like, what are these shows? Yeah, I am. So I love any type of competition show. So, like, I'm a Top Chef girl. I am a RuPaul's Drag Race girl up and down. And right now, I can't stop watching Below Deck. Like, I cannot stop.
You just named all amazing shows. Like, you were saying you call yourself basic, like, all great shows.
Well, they're over here like, I don't know about Generation, the this, the that. I'm like, what are these shows? I've never heard of this in my life.
Below Deck is one that we have been told time and time again we have to watch Below Deck.
I've watched some of it. Like, I've tried to get into it, but at the same time, I'm watching a million other shows also. So I tried to watch Below Deck at the same time that I started binge watching Summer House. And so I couldn't do both.
Love Summer House.
You like Summer House too?
Sierra came on the show.
Oh, you did?
We are obsessed with Sierra.
Love her.
She was like the best addition to that cast. Like, that cast needed Sierra. They really did.
And I just love everything about her. Yes, I just love her. She's a nurse.
She's dating Carl.
No, she's apparently dating Austin from Southern
Charm. From Southern Charm?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, right. I'm very sorry to break this news, and I don't know how true it is. This is
rumors.
There is very much. It's a very alleged, but allegedly we can't. You know, they filmed this show. It hasn't been announced, but also allegedly they definitely did. Filmed Winter House, where like the Summer House and Southern Charm cast combined in this house in Vermont.
Vermont, right? Yeah.
Yes. So I think Sierra and Austin met there, and they're, I don't know, it kind of seems like they just, you know, they just went to Charleston.
Sierra can do so much better. I mean, that's so much better. Like, I don't know. Do you guys like Carl? I want to know your thoughts on what's happening with this season of Summer House, because tonight's the finale. So when this airs, this airs tomorrow. What are your thoughts on this past season and going into the finale?
Ooh, I have so many thoughts.
Go for it. I love Carl. I really love Carl.
I love him. I'm really proud of like the progress that he's made. I think he's genuinely like a good guy. And that's why I wanted him to be dating Sierra. So now I'm just kind of over here like sad.
Didn't they put that in the trailer that he was like gonna flirt with Sierra? I thought that was something. And then they flirted a little bit.
Just like sizzled out.
Yeah.
But this was my first season watching Southern Charm. And everyone was like, oh, Carl's grown so much. So he must have been like kind of a douche, because I'm like, he's really nice.
He, you got to watch the early seasons will change your mind. You'll be like, okay, I get it. But he has had quite a transformation.
Yeah. And I also think that watching this season of Summer House, you probably have opinions on people that were definitely different in other seasons. Like, I feel like a lot of people are talking about what's happening with Hannah and Dez this season.
Yeah, Hannah's a little annoying.
Yeah.
And so that's been like the consensus about this past season. We're pretty friendly with Hannah Burner in real life.
Sorry.
And so no. We get what you're saying. And I actually went on her show the other day and I was like,
have to break it to you.
It's been a tough season for you. Like, it's been a little tough, and I feel like Hannah and Paige were downright my favorites, like, before this season for sure. And I think Dez being added to the mix, she's a little excited about that. The Luke situation had her head all over the place. And I also...
And her fighting with Kyle was kind of...
Yeah, but I think in my Kyle, point
that,
of view...
That bothers
I
think, me about I think, Kyle. Kyle's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, I think Kyle and Hannah were both wrong. In,
Kyle's
in,
almost
in
40 years old.
Yes, but I'm saying as it relates to Amanda.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That's yes. your friend.
Yeah, it puts her in a bad position.
It puts her in a really tough place.
For
that
sure.
Last episode where she was all over her man, I was like, y'all need to leave the girl alone. What else is she going to do? I'll be doing the same shit. Yeah. Y'all would not see me.
Yeah, and honestly, she like... I just feel like there's more that goes into reality TV than sometimes people think or want to be made aware of, because you're watching the show, you think it's real, but then you have to remember, like, there's so much shit that goes in behind the scenes with producing and editing and making it seem a certain way. And then people watch it and they're like, oh, that doesn't look good.
Okay, I have to ask, did you ask Hannah about having sex in their bathroom?
Yes. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say what she said, so I don't want to say it.
Okay.
I will say, just refer Ooh. Back to what I just said, where there's a lot, there's
outside
a lot,
influence.
There's a lot editing. That goes into reality TV that is not shown on reality TV. You yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Listen.
I sips wine.
Yeah. I think they were both wrong in different ways. But for me, I'm like, if my boyfriend was spending all his time yelling at Fran or fighting with Fran, I would be like, do you want to fuck her or what? Because like, you're spending a lot of time focusing on her and not focusing on me. Like, why do you even care to fight with her so much? It's weird.
Yeah.
He acts like one of the girls. He's just
I was gonna say some bitch assness.
Yeah.
Kyle's a Leo. So I feel for him.
I'm a Leo too, so same, I guess. But also
you're like, I don't see it.
No, but Hannah's also a Leo, and so is Amanda, and so is Lindsay.
They're a house full of Leos.
No wonder
this show is so good.
Terrible. They're all that's Leos terrible. Besides Carl and Paige.
Oh man. Well, if you guys didn't see, I highly recommend going to Lindsay's Instagram. We literally right before we started recording, Lindsay posted a photo, or she posted it earlier in the day, but we just saw it. They all got naked and jumped in the pool in the finale, but they just she posted a photo of all their asses just like out on the photo. They're all sitting along the pool and it's just all of their butts, all of them. It's an interesting vibe, I will say.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
Paige is kind of like spread eagle. she's trying to spread her cheeks.
She looks like she's reverse cowgirl.
Yeah, like
she looks great. She looks great.
Carl's leaning into it. And Sierra had a hilarious comment. Yeah. She was like, "Kyle, I never realized your butt crack started so low." Like, she's like,
"Stop."
Sierra's a Capricorn. Shout out to the
Hub House. Oh my god,
do you see it?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
God, it's just asses out, really.
Yeah,
they all have nice butts.
They do.
Hot as fuck. Yes, so hot. They look great.
Don't they look great? Yeah, like Paige. I saw Paige and I was like, whoa! Like Paige looks
Amanda
insane.
Too.
Yeah, Amanda. I mean, they all do. Yeah.
Sierra's like, I'm not doing this bullshit. Yeah. She's in the pool.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Wow. I love when you can just like chat your favorite show. Like, and everybody just gets it.
Yeah, same. I love that you guys were just like, yeah, we watch Summer House. Yeah. And everyone was in on that.
I have a question. Do y'all watch Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Tune in and out.
Yeah, I tune in and out of like a bunch of Real Housewives. Like, I'm never settled.
Yeah.
I've gone through different time periods of watching different seasons of each one, but never fully always watching them all the time.
I've watched more of this season of Atlanta than I have past seasons.
Mm. Oh no.
What did you think
of wasted your time.
I was very interested. I was very interested in the whole bachelorette party thing. Like, so many articles were written about it that I was like, well, I gotta watch to see what went down, because anytime you hear a reality show is like turning cameras off or like they wanted things off camera, you gotta find out what's going on.
Yeah.
So will they just sit a white elephant? Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, so do you think Portia slept with Bolo?
I kind of do.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
she definitely did.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't think they would have spent this much time trying to like cover shit up if mm-hmm. if it didn't go down, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
That bolo.
And good for her. I bet that shit was amazing. And I think somebody. I think it was a whole menage a trois.
Yeah, they're.
I'm
yeah.
sure they had a great time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
But they just did this white elephant on the last episode where they were giving out gifts and they had to be priced at $1,000. And this girl, Drew, brought this like terrible wig because that was like the joke of the season that she had bad wigs.
Yeah.
But everybody else brought all these things. And I was like, damn, whose gifts I would want it to take? Like somebody brought just $1,000 in cash. Someone else bought 10 bottles of Clico. Someone else got a Chanel scarf and a Chanel brooch. I forgot what else was given.
I mean, like, you gotta go cash. You gotta go cash. You gotta go cash. You gotta go cash because then you can buy all like all those items. Sound awesome. It's like, okay, but I'll take the cash and go buy that Chanel myself, right? Like, and pick it out.
Yes. Yeah.
It depends, though. What if like one of the bags were bought on discount, so the value of your gift is more cash? Depends.
That's true. That's very true.
He brought up a good point there. The resale. I wouldn't have thought about.
Yeah, the resale value. We got to think about that.
For sure. But I feel like it's also then rude to sell the bag that you picked.
Oh, I just caught what you were saying. I see. Wow. Yeah,
they don't all like each other. I feel like. Yeah, I'm a scammer. They don't all like each other, I don't think.
Could you imagine having a white elephant that's $1,000, though? Like, my white elephant is $20.
$20. $25
I
tops.
I trying to get invited.
Yeah. Usually I say I forgot.
What? You can't forget at a white elephant. That is just like,
oh, well, we went to one where we actually took like items from my parents' house that we thought would be around the value of what the number was set because we were lazy to go to the store.
I brought weed and I was like, I don't know if this is appropriate or inappropriate, but it's the only thing that I
my mom gets a,
I'm not gonna take Fran's parents stuff. I'm at her house. It's a last minute invite.
My mom
gets
FabFitFun boxes and I was like,
so you had some good stuff.
And I was like, she's definitely not gonna notice if a couple things aren't in
here. Yeah and we got back and we actually got it all back because we picked each other's presents.
Yeah, we got
like her siblings were with us, so then we all just
strategy.
We had a strategy. We were like, all right, we're using the Mariano's stuff and we must get it back.
We're like, my mom's that's so gonna notice hilarious. If this candle isn't in the box.
But I had the same thought that Chelsea had where I was like, can I just say that I forgot one? And you were like, no, you can't do that. She yelled at me. She was like, you absolutely can't do that. Which, you're shaking your head.
Like, no offense, Chelsea, but like, there is always one jerk that forgets the white elephant present. And I guess it's you guys.
But you can just watch. It's not like I'm going to forget the gift and then try to keep it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's different. Exactly. I was like, I don't want to even be a part of it.
Yeah. Okay, that's different.
Drink. I don't want that stuff. Right. I want to watch y'all scream and snatch gifts out of each other's hands.
Are boring and clearly not in the festive cheer.
So true. I feel like you and Fran are on the same page. Rhea tried to get out of it and I was like, absolutely not. We are going to salvage this somehow. We're not going to go there and not participate in the white elephant. Scrooge.
Not. I like Christmas, but it's awkward, right? Don't you agree? It's awkward. That's what makes me not want to be a part of it. It's just awkward. Oh, I have to pretend I'm like excited. Yeah, am I going to pretend I'm excited about this gift? It's like,
I mean, that's what they were doing on the show. Cynthia was, Portia got like some Tiffany bracelets and she's like, nobody wants these beautiful Tiffany bracelet necklace. Is gorgeous. Looks like your style.
Really having to sell your white elephant gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
That is so, so funny. Ladies, thank you guys so much for coming to talk to us. We had so much fun. And Black Girls Texting, everyone can go listen to their podcast. It's out every Wednesday.
Yep, every Wednesday.
Love it. And so, and you guys do you record it always remotely now, of course, I'm sure, but
we're actually going to the studio this weekend.
Yeah,
she said that.
Yeah, no, I recall, but I didn't know that was going to be the trend going forward.
I think we're going to do more solo eps in the studio together. So next week.
Awesome.
I hope I don't regret saying this, like plans change. Like I get too drunk before we record and then it never happens. But Hopefully,
you booked the session.
Oh, this is true.
Get drunk and go to the recording. Record while drunk.
Oh, of course.
So next week's episode, you guys will hear like more about just us. A lot of folks have been like, tell us more about the origin story. So tune in for that one. That's going to be a good one. And we are going to play a little Never Have I Ever. We're going to be sipping on some wine. So you don't want to miss that one.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much. And everyone, like I said, go check out Black Girls Texting. And if you could all just share your information where people can follow you and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so you can follow Black Girls Texting at Black Girls Texting on Instagram. On Twitter, it's Black Girls Text 1. You can email us at hello@blackgirlstexting if you want like some advice or something, or just want to say hi. And then you can get some merch at blackgirlstexting.com. And I'm Chels Pinky on Instagram.
That's her DJ name. I'm Bed-Stuy Brat on Instagram.
Love that.
I don't share my handle, but if you are hot, long-haired, and tattooed, you can email hello@blackgirlstexting, put it in the subject line, and I will get back to you promptly.
With a photo.
I hope somebody does that.
Photographic evidence.
Yeah. I'm crossing my fingers that somebody does that.
Oh, that would be iconic. I always shoot my shot on every show we go on. Yeah. Why not?
That would be great. I love that. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. We all know they're going to like talk shit about us in their group chat when we get off of this, because now we know that they have that. So it was great having you guys on. Everybody go check out Black Girls Texting. All right. That wraps up Chicks in the Office for this week. I've never wrapped it up like that.
No.
Sounded weird. Anyways, that wraps up Chicks in the Office.
For this week.
We will be back on Monday. We love you guys. Have a great weekend. Kisses.